Are you ready, Alabama? It's time to enter the doghouse.
You need to be more like a dog.
Silence, quiet!
All my boys, stand up!
We don't need a bunch of cats in here.
Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on.
Hello?
Hello?
Are you a dog?
Yes!
I am also a dog.
All right!
Yeah!
We're dogs!
Yeah, we're dogs.
We're dogs that live near each other!
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios, it's the Tom Abraham Show.
Okay, folks, the guy in front of you is Tommy. He'll be taking you through my little spiel here.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog. Here's Tom Abraham.
We strong.
You all may be taking the week off, all right, this week, but I'm not.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Bracket Day in the Doghouse. That's right, 3.5 hours of final show of the week for us, because we've got the NCAA tournament coming up at 5:30 tonight, and then tomorrow and Friday, all afternoon long. Ain't nothing better than that. So this is it for us. We will roll out our brackets for you today. That's T-Mac and me. Plus, the morning show has ramped up the action between the shows. Remember the other day when I had Cole Kublik on? I challenged him. I said, you and Arky against me and T-Mac, okay? Combined scores in the million-dollar bracket challenge, our million-dollar bracket challenge. And he accepted. And I said, we'll put lunch on the deal, okay? The losing team has to buy the winning team lunch somewhere in the valley, okay? And then we're going to tell the listeners where the lunch is going to be so that they can come and they could not only have lunch with us, not that they're going to get paid for their lunch, but they could come and have lunch and they could mock the team that has to pay for the other show, okay? And so that's where it sat for a good 40 hours or so. It sat right there. But now the morning show has ramped up the action between the two shows, asking that I do my show in the Athens studios after we have lunch if we were to, by some odd chance, some ridiculous, odd, crazy chance, if we were to lose this challenge. So for me, look, it's no big deal. Right, that's not adding something. I mean, look, it's an hour and a half from the Big Dog Production Studios. There's no question about that. So it gets me home at, 7:30 that night I do the show in Athens. But I don't have a problem making a roadie to Athens. But what am I going to do, or what are they going to do when we beat them? What's the added juice? Now, look, we'll enjoy the lunch. That's fine. But now what do I add to it? They added me having to do my show in the Athens studio after the lunch that we buy them if we lose. Well, we know that's, very, very unlikely that that will happen. But what am I going to do? What do I tell them? I don't know. I haven't given them anything yet. They want me to add a little something to it now on the other side, on top of the lunch. What am I going to do? Tell them that they have to do their morning show from the Big Dog Production Studio? Are you kidding me? If they come up here, they'll never want to leave. I ought to let them do the studio from the show from the studio if they win. They'll be like, oh my God, this is unbelievable. I can't do that. Then they'd have to like make them breakfast at the Big Dog Production breakfast kitchen afterwards. So I got to come up with something. I don't know what. I don't know if you guys want to weigh in. I don't know. Got to add a little juice. Got to add a little juice to it. I'm not sure. Having said that, I have my bracket done. And I do it only once with no changing and no rethinking. So there's no saying, oh, I had those guys winning that game in my original bracket, but I changed it. No, that's not the way we roll here. Okay, that's not dog code. We don't roll like that here. Having said that, I got to be honest with you. I'm not thrilled with my bracket. And I didn't have to make it out yet. I could have waited until after I had a couple of handicapper extraordinaires on today, Steve Merrill and Kevin Rogers. I could have waited and listened to them first, but I committed. I couldn't wait any longer. I had an itchy finger. I was like, I got to do this. So I went ahead and made my bracket up. And I'm not real happy with it. I'm just qualifying it. I'm not hedging my bet or anything. I'm just saying I'm not thrilled with my bracket, especially in this system of every game is worth 1 point. Because we all like the upsets early and the blue bloods late. But this system that we are competing under is not really conducive to that. This system is conducive towards taking a bunch of favorites early. The other thing I'm concerned about here is that I don't know when the morning show or if the morning show has made their brackets out yet. And I'm revealing mine and Tony Mack's publicly today in the 4 o'clock hour. Open for debate. I'm throwing ours out there. Have they announced theirs yet? What if they just kind of mooch off of our brackets and then make a couple of changes to try to win that way? So I'm a little bit concerned about all of this. I want to find out if Arky's in the building. If he's in the building, we may have to drag him into studio. We may have to get him to commit to a bracket. If you ask him, you know, who knows how many Arky's made out. I mean, I don't know. I've been looking at the list of entries at the $1 million bracket challenge, which you could still get into, but you need to do it. You can win $1 million. You can win $10,000. You can win a foursome at Cambridge. So you can get into this thing and you can get into it all the way until, I don't know, sometime tomorrow morning, I guess. But we're up to about 133 entries right now. For all I know, Arky is like 70 of them. You know, we're going with the Arky Shea is the Arky one. You know, he could be AU Tiger. He could be, let's see, what else could he be here on this list? He could be Cosmic Pickle. He could be, Caleb Presley is in. He could be, no, he can't be that guy. He can't be that guy. He could be the Goat Roper. I could see that. I mean, Arky could have a bunch of names in here. I mean, I don't know. He could be a bunch of these people. So, in any event, there's a lot of interesting people in this deal, too. You're going to want to get in and compete with us. You're going to want to get in and jump in with us. There's even some famous people in here. But, in any event, how many times have I said in any event? That's my crutch. So, we'll have our bracket reveal later on. Last night, the higher seeds in the NIT went 2-6. 2-6. In other words, the lower seeds, 6-2, including Alabama's loss at home to Richmond. Again, highlighting the fact that the players on these better teams who missed the big dance, they just don't care about this deal, man. No motivation at all. For the Indianas of the world and these other teams, there's just no motivation for them to play in this thing. And neither do the fans, to be honest with you. Doesn't matter to them either. And in some cases, it doesn't even matter to the ADs. Indiana passed on a home game because basically they didn't feel like the NIT was befitting of Assembly Hall. They said they didn't want the nation to see a half-empty arena with so much history. Basically, they were embarrassed to be in this tournament. And the reality is, most people think that losing in the first round of the NCAAs is better than winning the NIT. Now, my thing is, if you're embarrassed to host an NIT game, why even accept an invitation to the NIT? Why even accept? Wait a minute, let me take a sip of coffee on that. Coffee's good this afternoon. Getting cold. I got it into the studio a little late. Coffee's going to get cold on me. I may need to take a break right now so I can drink the rest of the coffee warm. Look, I know this is basically a made-for-TV deal, something that ESPN can air during tournament time. But come on. The only thing that makes sense is to have a preseason NIT. With the top 32 teams in the country. Take the top 32 teams, make it, I don't know, an invitation-only thing. Make it like a national invitation tournament. Oh, NIT. There you go. Invite the top 32 teams in the country. What a way to get the season started. And how about the winner of the preseason NIT, which would be in December? Because we'd get our groove on with that, right? After the conference championship games. You know, before we're watching all the D2, D3, D1, AA, all that kind of stuff, we're kind of hanging on to the last college football that we can see. You know what I'm talking about. You're telling me that starting the week after the conference championship games, the Power 5 conference championship games, that we wouldn't settle in for 2 weeks of preseason NIT with the top 32 teams in the country? And the winner is guaranteed a top 4 seed in the big dance. Now, typically they would be anyway, but still, you get that kind of golden parachute, if you will. A top 4 seed in the big dance. Come on, we'd watch that. You know we'd watch that. In football, Alabama has booked their opening day neutral site game for 2019. It'll be Duke in Atlanta. Surprising, really, kind of Duke. I mean, they're taking a chance on that being quite a blowout. Of course, they blew out Wisconsin and Michigan, too, so, and USC. Guess it can't be any worse than USC, right? But it'll be Duke in Atlanta. Not nearly as sexy as Florida State in Atlanta this fall, or even Louisville next year in Orlando, but still it's a Power 5 team. Now, AL.com came up with four teams they'd like to see Alabama play, and I think it's a pretty good list. Clemson, for obvious reasons. Michigan. Oregon, which does nothing for me. And Florida Atlantic. Now, that could be fun. That would have to be, of course, in T-Town. You got to bring old Lane and his merry band of owls to T-Town. But it would have to be in the next couple of years because he's going to be gone. And those schedules are made already. You know what I mean? But it would be fun. Wouldn't it be fun for them to play FAU? I'm interested to know, what game would you be most interested in? Maybe another Notre Dame game. You know, who would you like to see Alabama play in a non-conference game? I mean, forget about them bringing anybody good to campus. That deal ain't never happening anymore. But would you want to see them play Jim Harbaugh at Michigan? Would you want to see them play Clemson in an opener? Who they play back-to-back national championship games with? Two epic games? I don't know. Oregon, I don't get the hook there. AL.com also put up four games they'd like to see Auburn play. UAB, mildly interested in that. Hawaii, no interest in that. Georgia Tech, I mean, I get the history of it. And Baylor, given the Jared Stidham deal. So I get that a little bit. I think I could come up with a more interesting team than any of those four. How about Florida State? A rematch in a national championship game a few years ago. Or Michigan. Or Ohio State and Urban Meyer. I mean, come on. You want to see a matchup with a huge brand name, don't you? So weigh in on that one if you like. Who'd you like to see Auburn play? UAB? Hawaii? Georgia Tech? Baylor? No, come on. You got to come up with a better list than that. At least Alabama's list has Clemson, Michigan, Oregon. Hell, I'd rather see Auburn play Oregon because they played for a national championship in 2010. All right, we're going to get things rolling today with Steve Merrill from ProSportsInfo.com with bracket thoughts and an update on the daily fantasy sports issue. I am reading Daniel Barbarisi's book, Dueling with Kings, and it's very enlightening. I'm going to have to get this guy on. I'll share more with you after I finish that book, but it's very enlightening. Is anybody still playing daily fantasy sports? It's like crack. At the top of the three, Kevin Rogers from Vegas Insider is in. Then Bo Estes from NBA TV and NBA.com. I understand Bo will be in our bracket contest. You could be able to share your bracket with Bo Estes and see how you do against him. And then in the four, Aaron Suttles from the Tuscaloosa News and TideSports.com will join us. Alabama hits the field on Tuesday, and we'll get a preview with him of spring ball since we won't be around Thursday and Friday. And Monday we'll be talking a lot about the first weekend of the tournament and setting up Tuesday. But we'll get Aaron Suttles in today with his thoughts. If you got an idea what you want to contribute to the show, we invite you to get in toll free, 866-485-9867. We also have the entire digital doghouse for you as well that consists of our Twitter feed, at Tom Abraham Show, where you can throw us a follow, the Facebook fan page, where you can throw us a like. That's Facebook.com/ Tom Abraham Show. Then there's the text window, 7329-TA-SHOW, 732-982-7469. Doghouse inbox is open, Tom@TomAbraham.com. And then there's that dude over there. He's the man behind the curtain playing the stacks of wax, the platters that matter, answering the phones, pushing the buttons, keeping us on the air in our palatial ump studios in the basement of Athens Cumulus, one part Italian, one part Mexican, one part mutt. His fiance and his family call him Antonio Macbeth. We call him Tony Mac.
Chico, don't be discouraged. The man, he ain't so hard to understand.
Kiss my brown ass.
Do you know who I am?
Who in the blue hell are you?
I'm the producer of this show. If I didn't step up, you're nowhere. I put this thing together out of spit and polish.
The guy's an intern.
You don't ever say that to me. Bull crap.
All those of you that know Italians and like Italians, this is your day.
I'm telling you, there's an embarrassing press conference in that kid's future.
You can act like a man.
You can't speak Italian just because you have a mustache.
Look, I don't speak Spanish.
Hold it right there, Mr. Fancy Pants Foreigner.
But don't ever take sides with anyone against the family again.
Now, Tom. Hey, Tom.
Oh, hey, Tom. Oh, hey, Tom. Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom.
Tom, can you get me off, Tom? For old time's sake.
When you ask me those kind of questions, it really pisses me off.
We love you. We love you forever and ever.
To my new friend.
Well, welcome to America, amigo.
Hey. How you doing, Tony Mac?
Big dog, I'm, again, fantastic. It was pretty outside on the way here. It was a little chilly, but I've got leather seats in my car, so the sun was beating down on it pretty hard. So it was pretty warm in my car, so I got to ride with the sunroof down. It was just a great, like, blaring some tunes, sunroof down kind of drive. It was wonderful.
How you feeling about your bracket? You got your bracket made on?
I do. And, I mean, I feel okay about it because some of the teams I have a couple teams that I didn't want to see where they landed, but I didn't have any other choice. I had to go with my gut. So,
you know, we're partners in this challenge. I mean, I want to beat you, too.
Yeah.
But we are partners. I want to finish first and you second. We are partners in this challenge, though, against the morning show, and we did not collude. I mean, they probably colluded because if we colluded, we would have different winners, you know, maybe for a lot of games so that we're kind of covering our base. But it's not a combined, you know, it's not a combined bracket. It's your score, my score. So if I end up with 50 points and you end up with 50 points, it's okay. We don't have to have the best combined bracket.
Right.
It's the best combined score of our two brackets together. So I want you to do really well in this thing. I hope you didn't take too many risks.
No, I didn't take too many risks like that. I mean, I've got some upsets first round, but I don't have, you know, four double-digit seeds in my Elite Eight or Final Four or anything like that. I got a couple upsets here and there, but nothing big, nothing crazy.
I think I have too many upsets in the first round because I'm making out the bracket the way you would make out a bracket where it becomes worth more and more in each round. So you could take a shot at a few upsets, and then if that upset happens, okay, fine. It straightens out. You know, like, and I'm going to give away little things on my bracket throughout. We'll have the full bracket reveal coming up at 4:25. But for example, I'll give you an example. I have East Tennessee beating Florida. I have East Tennessee State beating Florida. But then I have them getting beat by Virginia. So if I were making on one of them brackets that is, you know, that, you know, points are graduated, well then, you know, if I lose on the East Tennessee thing, but Virginia then wins, then I would be, you know, I'd be back on pace, you know, as a Sweet 16 team. But I don't have that now.
Well, I'll tell you what, seeing some of these articles, these expert articles about how you should pick, you shouldn't feel too bad. I didn't base my bracket off of that at all, but I do have friends that did. I mean, some of my picks worked out that way, but it says, like, you should have, like, a 7 first-round upsets or something like that. You should have at least one 12 seed or double digit seed in your Sweet 16, things like that. And I know people, like I said, some of my friends based their bracket off that specifically. I didn't. Some of my things ended up that way, but not on purpose. But I mean,
well, the thing, what's dangerous about that is is that you could end, which ones? You know,
right,
what I mean,
exactly.
You could end up really screwing yourself into the ground. So I don't base any of that on that.
Right.
I'm not doing it by numerology. I'm looking at teams that I think are going to win basketball games. I think that's the biggest thing. Now, I'll tell you this right now. I have got five double-digit teams winning in the first round. Five. Now, that time, I'm not saying they're all 12, 13, 14s, but I do have a 12. I do have a – no, I don't have a 12. Do I have a 12? I do have a 13 and a 14 winning in the first round. I do have a 12. I have a 12, a 13, and a 14 all winning in the first round, plus I have a 10 winning in the first round, and maybe I only have four. I have a 10, a 12, a 13, a 14, and another 10. I have two 10s, an 11, a 12. No, a 12, a 13, and a 14. Two 10s, an 11, a 12, and a 14. So I could get my head handed to me there, or I could look good.
Yeah, well, you know, I've got a few double-digit seeds myself winning. The 10 seeds, I've got a few 10 seeds pulling upsets, but it could all even itself out again because I don't have many of them going past the second round anyway. So I'm not too worried about it, to be honest with you.
I've got one double-digit seed team to the Sweet 16.
I at least have one, I know. I got to go back and read it. I don't think I – if I do have more than one, it might be two, but I don't think I did. I think it's just one Sweet 16.
Yeah, I got one. I got one in there. All right, so that's the deal. All right, give me a little bit of a little minutia here. Give me a little Tony Mack minutia is what I'm looking for. Just something that we educate us a little bit here. What do you got?
Well, big dog, a lot of baseball. 1869, the Cincinnati Red Stockings became the first pro baseball team. They didn't play their first pro game until May, but they did play a game the day they announced they were going to be the first pro baseball team. They played Antioch, and they beat them 41-7.
But do you know what that means, the first pro baseball team?
They something about having all salary players. And
yeah, every player on the team was getting paid. It was. There were a lot of teams that were playing pro games, but
right. They
were the first team to have everybody play. That would, you know, okay, I thought you'd go basketball today with the tournament and everything.
Well, I'm still working. I'm working way down. It's just, a lot of big things that happened today were baseball related. Like in 1912, Cy Young, the pitcher Cy Young, retired from baseball with 511 wins. So that was a pretty big thing.
Yeah, I know that McKringleberry was very upset when that happened.
clinging to his radio when they announced that. Some basketball for you. 1958, Oscar Robertson of Cincinnati. Back in college, he scored an NCAA Midwest Region record 56 points in Madison Square Garden against Seton Hall.
Without a three-point line. You realize he'd have had about 75 points in that game or 70 points in that game if he had a three-point line?
Yeah, well, there's a reason he's an all-time great. And then in 1958, also, a Royals basketball star, Maurice Stokes, unfortunately collapsed during a playoff game, and he went into a coma and is permanently disabled from that. That was unfortunate. And then today in 1962, Wilt Chamberlain was the first ever to score 4,000 points in an NBA season. He finished with, I think, 4,029.
Yeah, that would not in one game. That would have been a record in one game, but of course he has that record too. Danny T already got loose. He's out of his ever-loving mind, as usual. But he got loose on the text window. He said that Arky and Cole need to wear ballet gear to a remote when they lose. What do you got to go there for? Why would you have to go there for ballet gear? All they're making me do is come in studio. They're like, oh, you got to come in studio. Okay, what's the big deal about that other than the three-hour round trip? But I'm going to be down there feeding them anyway.
Well, see, I was thinking of something along those lines at first, but then I was thinking, well, it's not going to embarrass Arky. Arky doesn't get embarrassed very, very easy anyway, so I don't know.
Well, that wouldn't embarrass him anyway, but I got to think of something that's commiserate with me saying, with them saying, I got to feed them, and then I got to do the show in studio. You know what I mean? So that's not that big a deal for me. So I got to do something, I got to make them do something that's not that big a deal. You know what I mean? Like maybe do my show that day. All right, let's get a break in here. When we come back, we'll get things rolling. Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com. We'll get his bracket thoughts next. It's a bracket day here in the doghouse. It's the Tom Abraham Show right here on 730-1039. The Ump.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The Ump. From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by AtlasAlabama.gov, your small business source in Alabama. Hello, everybody. I'm Chris Stewart. Avery Johnson's second season as head coach of the Alabama men's basketball program came to a close last night. The Tide fell to Richmond 71-64 in Tuscaloosa. It was the opening round of the National Invitation Tournament. The Tide season ends with a 19-15 record. Graduate transfer Corbin Collins led the way in a losing cause with 19 points. He made 5 of Alabama's 7 three-point shots of the game, going 5 of 10 from beyond the arc. Alabama would also get 11 points from redshirt freshman Dazon Ingram. He also dished out 6 assists and had a blocked shot in 28 minutes of work running the point without a turnover. Richmond advances to play host to Oakland University. Again, the Alabama men in their season at 19-15. I'll have more in a moment.
The annual income of sole proprietorships in Alabama totaled over $14 billion last year. Small business is big business in Alabama. Visit AtlasAlabama.gov to learn more about Alabama's Small Business Commission and get resources for starting your own business. AtlasAlabama.gov, we're here to help. 96.8% of Alabama employers are small business owners. Small business is big business in Alabama. Visit AtlasAlabama.gov for free tools and resources to help you start your small business today. AtlasAlabama.gov, brought to you by the Alabama Small Business Commission.
The Alabama women will host a WNIT game as they'll face Mercer at Coleman Coliseum, 7 o'clock on Thursday night. Today, Alabama baseball will try to win its second straight games. The Tide takes on Samford. They were 5-0 winners over Eastern Illinois on Tuesday. And also, Bama softball has a pair of games set for today at Rhodes Stadium as well. That's your Bama update. Crimson Tide Today, brought to you by AtlasAlabama.gov, is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network.
Hey, great show. Wednesday morning, Barrett Salee talked SEC football. We visited with Middle Tennessee State head basketball coach Kermit Davis about his upcoming NCAA tournament game with Minnesota. Laura Rutledge joined us, former Alabama outside linebacker Ryan Anderson, and Adam Zucker of CBS Sports. If you missed any of those, go catch the podcast at umsports.com. Tomorrow morning, Vegas Runner and Lance Taylor get a set for NCAA tournament games right here on Cube Show, 6 to 10 on UMP Sports.
March Madness is a time when the best of the best come out to play. Experience that same level of performance with the turbocharged Infiniti Q50 sedan. Visit Smith Infiniti of Huntsville today and lease the Q50 for $339 a month for 39 months. $24.99 initial payment, tax, title, license, and options extra. Call 1-800-862-0406 for details. Offer ends 3/31/17. Infiniti is an official partner of NCAA Men's Basketball. NCAA and March Madness are registered trademarks of the National Collegiate Athletic Association. Infiniti. Empower the drive.
Families affected by disasters urgently need support. Help the American Red Cross provide meals and shelter to those affected by disasters, big and small. Donate to Red Cross Disaster Relief. Go to redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS.
My son Aiden has asthma. Secondhand smoke has triggered his asthma so badly, he ended up in the emergency room and spent multiple nights in intensive care. Now he's on a whole bunch of medications. My tip to you is, don't be shy about telling people not to smoke around your kids.
Half of U.S. kids are exposed to secondhand smoke. If you or someone you know wants help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
Brought to you by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? Indeed.com delivers 5 times more hires than any other job site. You can post a job in minutes and manage your candidates from an easy-to-use dashboard. Post your next job on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com.
A cold day today with a sunny sky, the high 42. Tonight, another freeze warning. The sky clear, the low at 22. For tomorrow, sunny and not as cold, the high 54. And on Friday, the warming trend continues. A mixture of clouds and sunshine. Friday's high 65. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The UMP.
Hey, it's our time. Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867. Here's Tom Abraham.
Life is so strange when it's changing, yes indeed. Yeah, I've seen the hard times and the pressure's been on me. But I keep on working.
You're going to in our four players tweeted, rethinking brackets are always good, especially if there are major upsets. I don't know what he means. Maybe he's talking about getting into an after, you know, like a Sweet 16 one. It's just dog code, man. I'm just telling you, there's certain things I live by, certain rules I live by, and it may not be the best betting strategy, but I, you know, betting the games game by game is a whole nother animal. That's something else. But when I make out a bracket, I'm sorry. I can't, once I click that team or once I write that team down, that's it. I'm done. I cannot go back and say, well, wait a minute. Let me change that game. I can't do it. And I should have waited for Steve Merrill, but I didn't. But he's joining us now. So those of you that waited are very, very smart. He joins us from Pro Sports Info. He's on the Woody Anderson Ford VIP hotline. Steve, welcome in. How are you?
You can always do a second bracket, Tom.
I can't, Steve. That's, again, it's against the dog code, man. I just can't do it. I got one bracket. I can't have two squeezes in a game. What happens when all of a sudden a game comes on and on one bracket I picked Florida, another bracket I picked East Tennessee State, and I'm sitting there like I'm on both sides? When I watch a game, I got to have a squeeze one way or the other. That's it. One bracket, and I do it one time, and then I'll enter that in different things, but it's one bracket.
Yeah, but then you root for the bracket that's doing better, and that's the team you go with.
Well, that's a whole nother thing. See, now you're talking like a gambler, which is probably the right way to do it.
Well, diversification, it's the only free lunch, right?
Yeah, you got that right. Having said that, there are two different ways to play here. Obviously, there's a ton of games, and you can go game by game. If you had a pot, you were investing, and you had the little pot over here and a little pot over there, would you have more on the game-by-game plays, or would you have more on your bracket?
Oh, no, the bracket's not. I mean, the bracket's for fun. That's not where
amateur
the serious
night.
Money is made. I mean, I sent it out to my clients this morning, actually, my official bracket. And by the way, if the listeners would like to get it like I did last year, they can just email me, steve@prosportsinfo.com, for that complete bracket. I'll send it out for free if they mention the show. But the bracket's more for fun. You know, you take a shot. Most of the tournaments you're in are for a couple dollars. You know, you can even play some free ones, and it's basically a free roll. But, yeah, the big money is going to be played on the point spreads and on the over-unders. That's where we make our money on the game-by-game basis. And like I tell people when I send the bracket out, you know, I'm making projections, obviously, on every game for the rest of the tournament, all 63 games starting tomorrow. However, you know, second, third round, I might have something on my bracket now. It might change next week when I see the point spread. That's the great equalizer, and that's really what we have to focus on.
That would be an interesting thing to do, a bracket that had the lines on it. Now that would be something. That would be a totally different animal. Can you imagine I had a bracket that had the lines on it, and you did that as you went? That would be an interesting way to go.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be tricky, obviously, because you wouldn't know the following matchups. But it's actually a great idea. We might have to run with that next year and come up with a website, because you could obviously do it for half the games, because half the games are played the next 2 days in the entire tournament, and we know the lines there.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying you could then update it, you know, then for the next, when you get to the second round, you just do it again, and you know, with the lines, and then let's see you pick games with the lines and see how people do, just as a bracket.
You'd also have to, basically you're just picking every game of the tournament against the point spread, and you just see what your record is. But I think a more creative idea, if you could figure out a way to do it, would be to have it dynamic where, you know, if you got the teams that advanced correctly, then you get the adjusted point spread. You could do it without knowing the spread. Just assume what the spread would be if you get your matchups right and have to keep picking that way.
That would be great. And then if you lose teams, boom, you're out of that. You're out of that deal. I mean, part of the deal would be to have teams standing, you know, as it goes on, but standing with the handicapping. Were you surprised to see Duke all the way to, a two seed being the betting favorite? Do you think that's just public money? Is that Vegas, you know, grabbing that name value, or is that a legit deal that Duke is the favorite in Vegas?
Yeah, you know, I did a show a couple hours ago in Charlotte, which I do each week, and obviously that's ACC territory, and they said the same thing coming in. They said Duke and North Carolina are the two favorites, and they actually said Duke is the favorite, and I was surprised to hear that, because I don't, at least offshore, I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing North Carolina pretty much as a heavy favorite. They're about a 5-1 favorite offshore in the international casinos and sports books. Everybody else, like Duke, Villanova, Kansas, Gonzaga, they're all around that 8-1 range. It might be a little bit different in Vegas. And if that's the case, I think that's definitely public money, because internationally, offshore, internet casinos, sports books, et cetera, I'm seeing North Carolina a couple points ahead of everybody else in the future odds. So I think that is a little bit of maybe overreaction by the public in Vegas.
Well, we'll have Kevin Rogers on a little bit from Vegas Insider, but right now the consensus out of the hotels is Duke 7-1, Kansas 7-1, Nova 8-1, and Gonzaga 17-2. That's the consensus right now coming out of the hotels.
Yeah, you didn't mention North Carolina, though, because I'm seeing them
not even in there
in a lot of spots.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it right now. It's got, North Carolina. They got where the hell is North Carolina? Oh, no, North Carolina. Yeah, okay. Yeah, now they got North Carolina at 11-2 and then Duke at 7-1. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
That's like 5.5 then to 1. Yeah, North Carolina is pretty much a 5-1 favorite in most spots. But yeah, it's wide open after that. And Duke is in the running. And considering they're a 2 seed, that's obviously very high. They're ahead of some of the 1 seeds, especially Gonzaga, who has the best record in the country, but I still think is vastly overrated. And it's funny, mentioning the Charlotte spot that I do during the football season, a couple months ago I was on that show, and they asked me leading into the football questions, they go, what are the odds that Duke even makes the tournament? This was about 2 months ago because they were on that slide of a couple losses, and now all of a sudden they're one of the co-betting favorites to win the whole thing. It just shows how quickly public perception can turn on these teams.
It's also interesting that Louisville is 17-1, and then after that, it's Florida State 30-1. I mean, it seems like there's a big, big drop off. I don't know that anybody below the 17-1 Louisville Cardinals can win this tournament. I mean, I think we're looking at a tournament that, even though it was a year where it didn't feel like there were any really great teams, like any given week, it was a different great team out there. But having said that, you know, here we are, a tournament where, you know, there's only, you know, a 6-8 teams that are 20-1 or less.
Exactly. And that's one thing that, you know, kind of segueing into just bracket strategy in general, is everybody loves to pick the first and second round upsets. But most brackets, the points double every round. And if you don't have the final four, the finals correct, you have no chance, even if you pick every first round game correct, because the finals is worth 32 points, just like every single 1 point game is worth in the first round. And the reason I bring that up is because historically, the cream rises to the top in the NCAA tournament. In fact, since going back to 1985, when we had the 64-team format begin, we've only had 8 out of 32 years in which at least one number one hasn't been in the finals. So in 24 of the last 32 years, there's been at least one or both teams have been number one seeds in the finals. The number one seed wins it about 70-some percent of the time. And if you look at the betting odds this year, they have odds on what seed will win. It's about a 43% chance a one seed wins. It's a 70% chance that either a one or two seed wins the tournament this year. And you see that reflected in the future odds prices as well.
Yeah, and I have a two winning. I only have one seed making it to the Final Four, and that's Kansas. And I didn't do my bracket backwards. A lot of times they say do your bracket backwards, you know, and work it back to the middle. I went matchup by matchup by matchup, and when it was all said and done, Kansas was the only one seed that survived. I'm not real comfortable with my bracket, but as I said, I can't change a thing. And we're competing against, you know, hundreds of listeners and so on, you know, for fun here on the show and for golf prizes. So, I'm married to it because I can't be that guy that says, oh, at first I had that team and then I switched them. You know, I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, I think on that side of the bracket, the Midwest and the South, you've got Kansas and North Carolina as the one seeds, and I think those are the two one seeds that have the best chance of getting to the finals. You look at the other side of the bracket, you've got Gonzaga as a one in the West. As I mentioned earlier, I'm very suspect on them. On paper, they're a tough team if you look at their lineup and their size, the diversity they have, but they just played absolutely nobody in the regular season. I just think that's going to catch up to them when you have to win and win and win, and you're going to get some tight games down the stretch. Arizona could very well get out of that as the two seed. And then you look up at Villanova, you know, as we talk, Duke is actually the second favorite to win the whole thing. They're actually favored to win that region over the defending national champs, Villanova. Mm-hmm. So I think both Kansas and UNC, as far as one seeds go, are probably the two that are most likely to make the finals.
I know a lot of people like Wisconsin to shut Villanova down in the second round.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I think Villanova does not get out of that bracket. They might not even make it to the second or third round. In fact, I think there's two other teams. If they get by Wisconsin, they play either Virginia or Florida probably in the Sweet 16. Both Florida and Virginia, very dangerous 4 and 5 seeds. You look at Virginia, they're a team that was probably a 1, maybe a 2 seed at worst just a month ago, and now they fall to a 5 seed. And Florida is a dark horse to win the whole thing, and then you got Duke at the bottom half. So I think there's no question the East is the toughest bracket, 1 through 5, with Villanova, Duke, and then you've got both Virginia and Florida's 4 and 5 seeds. Now, I do think the most phony 3 seed is in that region, in Baylor, a team that was actually number one in the country a few months ago, now just a 3 seed, but I think that's more reflective of what they're going to end up being.
I think the best 3 seed is UCLA, and I'll tell you why. They are the most proficient team out there. I mean, they score like they're going out of style. And I think their only losses were in the Pac-12. And what I think will happen is, I mean, they're the fastest team out there. They get more possessions than anybody, the highest scoring team that's out there. And I think what will happen is that when they're outside of the familiar, you know, teams that are very familiar with them in the Pac-12, I think they may be very, very difficult to slow down and to stop. I think they can be very, very dangerous in this deal, UCLA as a three. I may be totally wrong, and I hate old man LeVar Ball and all his crazy talk about $1 billion for his kids and shoe contracts. I wish that guy wasn't – I wish I didn't even know about that guy. But having said that, I like Steve Alford's team to go a long way in this deal.
Yeah, I like UCLA as a team, but once again, it's all about matchups in the NCAA tournament, as you know, and I think they got a terrible draw because they're going to play the winner of the Cincinnati-Kansas State game. Kansas State is a real slowdown half-court team. They actually beat Wake last night in a high-scoring game, but they're still a really good slowdown half-court team, and Wake Forest and UCLA both like to push the tempo, and we saw Kansas State match up well and win last night. Cincinnati, one of the top 10 defensive efficiencies in the nation this year. So whether they get Kansas State or Cincinnati, that's going to be a really bad matchup for UCLA because, like you said, Tom, they like to play fast. They're a lot of offense, and those are not one of the opponents they're going to want to see early on.
What about a team from our region, Kermit Davis, great guy, good friend of the show, and that Middle Tennessee team. They're playing Minnesota. It's very trendy to pick them, but I think they're only a one-point dog against Richard Pitino's Gophers, who weren't even in the tournament last year. And this, of course, MTSU team has the history of beating Michigan State last year, so it's not like they're all starry-eyed about being there. Having said that, it's not the exact same team, but they go in as a 12 against Minnesota. Personally, I think they can beat Minnesota and Butler, but what do you think about it? But everybody's picking them, it seems like. That's the trendy thing to do.
Well, everybody wants a 12 seed because they almost always win a game every year, and it's not a surprise because if you look at the point spreads on these games, the 12 seeds are usually only within a couple baskets. Now, right. Wilmington's a 7.5-point dog to Virginia, but as I mentioned, Virginia's not a 5 seed. They should have been a top 3 or 4 at worst. They were maybe a 1 or 2 seed a month ago. But you look at this game, Middle Tennessee's actually a 1-point favorite now in a lot of locations.
Oh, geez, I thought they were a dog. Yeah, I thought they were 1-point
dog. They opened as a
1.5,
2-point dog in most spots. One book even opened them as a 3-point dog a couple days ago. Now they're a 1-point favorite. So there's some sharp money on them as well. It's not just the public. And this is a situation where you could very well have the 12 seed being the point spread favorite at tip-off. Just one of the many reasons why these aren't real upsets, even though, you know, the bracket might say so.
All right. Well, I'm going to look forward to talking again next week. But before I let you go, I got to tell you, I'm reading Daniel Barbarisi's book, Dueling with Kings. He's a former writer with the Wall Street Journal. Have you heard of this book at all?
No, and I love financial stuff, so you definitely have to let me know about it.
Well, this is sports and finance. He was a beat writer for the Wall Street Journal that covered the Yankees and Major League Baseball. And he got to the point where he was, after 7 years, 8 years of every Yankee game, he kind of got sick of it. And somebody in 2014, one of the other guys in the clubhouse, turned him on to the Daily Fantasy Sports. He started making up teams and thought, oh, and he got excited. You know, all of a sudden he was watching baseball games again because he was playing Daily Fantasy. Well, anyway, he realizes quickly what's going on in that thing and that there are people that are putting together 500 teams. We've talked about this. And
right,
he's got, like, he's in these, even these head-to-heads that were $5 and $10 head-to-heads, he had people... He had the same guy go against him on three different head-to-heads for $10, and the guy might have had, I think he tracks the guy down, and make a long story short, he ends up quitting his job with the Wall Street Journal. He immerses himself in the DFS world and goes through this whole thing. He goes out and he meets these people and these algorithms, and it's amazing, and it's so scary, and it really, I'll be honest with you, I don't know how they're going to keep that thing going. I know it's taken a big hit, but it even goes further down that path that we've talked about, you know, being what's more dangerous and what's more corruptible and how you're playing against computers that have algorithms, have nothing to do with skill. They're just numbers. They're crunching numbers, and they're beating everybody's brains in, and how 3% of the people are making 95% of the money. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and it segues into a couple things we've talked about. First of all, those guys he's playing against, I guarantee they have more than one NCAA bracket this week, Tom.
Oh, yeah.
And that shows what I'm talking about. They are hedging to the diversification extreme by playing every combination possible. And, yeah, we've talked about that before here on the show, and that's one of the major problems with fantasy. The other huge problem is the built-in house edge. It's much bigger than people realize.
10%
on a standard
juice.
Sports bet. You're laying 11 to win 10. You know, you risk 110 to win 100. On a baseball line, that's a 20-cent line. A baseball line's a 10-cent line. You risk 105 to win 100. on most of these head-to-head fantasy games, it's a 50-cent line. It'd be like risking 125 to win 100 on a straight bet. That's an astronomical house edge, and it's very difficult to overcome, especially when you're playing against others who are sharp, because it's a zero-sum game. You know, there's winners and losers, and I think it's going to eventually feed on the little guys, and they're going to eventually get fed up by losing their bankroll each season. And hopefully we'll see legalized sports betting in the near future, because that's a much better bet and much better odds for everybody.
Well, because I'm only into the first third of the book. You got to get the book. It's Dueling with Kings. It's fascinating. It reads like a novel. It's fascinating. He immerses himself in that world. You learn so much about it. But there are guys that put in 500 to 600 teams a night in baseball, and they're not doing that manually. They've got computers. They write these computer programs, and they know nothing about it. That whole thing about skill versus chance, they know nothing about it, the game. They're just feeding the information to a computer, and the computer makes 500 picks for them. They put $10,000 in play, sometimes in $10 and $20 games, and they'll make $18,000. You know what I mean? It's just a business. That can't happen if you're just betting a game. It couldn't happen like that, because there's only a winner and a loser.
Well, and here's the thing. You think, well, the solution is, you know, that the big fantasy sports like DraftKings are just going to put an end to it. The problem is they need those guys to survive.
Oh, yeah.
They make liquidity in the market. And the reason, you know, DraftKings and FanDuel and these big companies can offer million-dollar jackpots is because they get 300,000 entries guaranteed in the, you know, $3 contest or the $5 mm-hmm. contest, and they can pay out $1 million. They keep the other, you know, 400,000 as profit. And you're never going to get a million entries from people putting in one entry. There's just not enough people in this country playing. So yeah. You need these guys putting in these 5,000 and 10,000 entries to make the pools bigger. The problem is the little guy who's going for that money with one or two entries really has virtually no chance of ever winning it.
Yeah, it's called Dueling with Kings, Daniel Barbarisi. All right, man,
yeah,
appreciate you.
I'm going to check that out.
Check it out. It's a great read. It's an entertaining read, and it's very, very informative. And it's even worse than you think. The DFS is even worse than you think. It's just nuts. I mean, it's crazy. If anybody from the government read that thing, they'd shut that whole thing down in a minute.
Yeah, well, let's hope that doesn't happen, actually, because as we've always said, the one great thing about daily fantasy sports, as you know, is that's going to be the gateway to legalization of sports betting because it's become so mainstream. Let's just hope there's not something that terrible happens with that kind of puts a black on the whole
thing. Well, that racket makes the regular sports betting look innocuous.
True.
That's what I say, but I look at it the other way. I'm saying it's just showing that's really bad. That's evil. That thing is evil compared to betting on a game. So
you just never know how these politicians look at this stuff, because as you and I both know, they're not exactly the sharpest tacks in the toolbox sometimes.
That's a good point. All right, Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, way over time. Got to get a break. Tom Abraham Show, 730-1039 The Ump.
730 and 1039 The Ump. More sports.
This is Jim Rome with the CBS Sports Minute. The LA Lakers are going into their very own version of Operation Shutdown. They're telling healthy vets, Luol Deng and Timofey Mozgov, they can effectively have the rest of the season off. And yes, these were the huge free agent acquisitions that were supposed to bring the Lakers back from the dead. A couple of dudes who signed for a combined $136 million over four seasons. But despite being healthy, they're shutting them down, and they're doing it to ensure that they go into the tank and retain that top three protected pick that they need so badly. Make sure that they're able to get their young players as much playing time as they can over the last 15 games. Even more hilarious is that when they asked Mozgov and Deng how they felt about being shut down, they both said they were good with it. Yeah, you think? Get paid millions not to work. Sign me up. Good work if you can get it. I'm Jim Rome.
Gentlemen, it's time for the men's wardrobe sale at JCPenney, now through March 22nd. Come in and find great deals, like 50% off select men's suit separates, sport coats, and dress pants. And guys, it gets even better. Starting this Thursday, save an extra 20% with your JCPenney credit card and coupon on select items throughout the store and at jcp.com. The men's wardrobe sale, that's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney, coupon required, valid 3/16 to 3/19. Some exclusions apply, subject to credit approval. See store or jcp.com for coupon and details.
What does Advance Auto Parts have to offer? Plenty. Like a rewards program called Speed Perks that gets you $20 off your next purchase when you spend $100 or more. What doesn't Advance Auto Parts have to offer? A reason why there's a supermarket employee there to help you, even though it's called self-checkout. So forget figuring out the produce code for apples and check out Advance Auto Parts rewards program Speed Perks and get $20 off your next purchase when you spend $100 or more. Advance Auto Parts. Let's get you back on the road. See an Advance team member or go to speedperks.com to sign up.
Like,
well, it was bound to happen. Football season will come to an end, but what that means is spring football is right around the corner, and so is the spring season. Now is the time to treat your vehicle to the ultimate in-service care at Woody Anderson Ford. You'll be stunned at the beautiful new service lanes, and you're going to want to leave yourself some extra time to have breakfast or lunch at Henry's Mustang Cafe. In fact, head to the Mustang Cafe any day, and while you're there, check out the new 2017 Fords. Woody Anderson Ford at Sparkman and Jordan Lane.
Writing job descriptions, sifting through resumes, setting up interviews. Hiring's hard, but Indeed.com makes it easier. Post your job, manage candidates, schedule interviews, all on Indeed. And since independent research shows that Indeed delivers 5 times more hires than any other job site, easy works. Right now we're giving new users a $50 credit to post a sponsored job on the world's number one job site. Claim your $50 credit at Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's opponents on Man vs. Train. At the crossing we have Rick, a 175-pound frustrated man who's running late for work. And on the tracks we have Bull, a million-pound freight train that takes a mile to stop. Let's see who comes out on top.
You can't beat a train, so don't try. Stop. Trains can't. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
What are all the things you witness online in a day? Cats playing piano, selfies on your feed, your friend's picture being turned into a nasty meme that's been shared 50 times? 51. 52. When someone's being bullied online, it's hard to know what to do. Now you can speak up with the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
No time to get on the phone? Tweet the big dog. At Tom Abraham Show. Here's Tom Abraham.
Welcome back to Tom Abraham Show. By the way, updating an old Viper. I don't know if guys knew this or not, but Brett Muncy. Remember Brett Muncy? Brett Muncy was the first coach of the Tennessee Valley Vipers back in the day, 2002, coach of the Tennessee Valley Vipers. Well, he is the assistant special teams coach now with the Washington Redskins. And you say, wait a minute, the Washington Redskins, what was this hook? Because there's always a hook, right? There's always a hook. You say, well, how could he be with the Washington Redskins? Well, don't forget, he's got an extensive history in the Arena League, not only with the Vipers, but before that, the Augusta Stallions and the Carolina Cobras. And then after the Vipers, he went to the Orlando Predators as an assistant coach. And then he was the head coach at Philadelphia. And then he was the head coach at Orlando from 2011 to 2012 as well. And where did Jay Gruden play? At the Orlando Predators. And Muncy actually played on the Orlando Predators in 1991. So he has a tie to Jay Gruden through all of his years in arena football. And, you know, there was an old saying, it used to be, if you coached in the arena game, you know, people thought it was a stepping stone for some players. Of course, the most famous being Kurt Warner. But there were other players that went from arena football into the NFL and had great success. But not as much for coaches. Very rare, and it was kind of like a stigma that if you were an arena coach, you were pigeonholed as an arena coach. And Jay Gruden is one of the very, very few that have broken out of that mold. Jay Gruden was an outstanding head coach with the Orlando Predators, played for the Orlando Predators, won a bunch of championships, and then got out of the arena game and into the field game when he was with the Bengals, and now, of course, the head coach of the Redskins. Didn't hurt that he was John Gruden's brother either. All right, coming up next, we get another look at the brackets with Kevin Rogers from VegasInsider.com. He's up right after this on the Tom Abraham Show, 730-1039. Yeah.
They are WUMP 730 and 1039. The Ump.
I'm Jason Horowitz with an NCAA tournament schedule preview. More First Four action coming up tonight with a doubleheader that includes the Pac-12's USC Trojans taking on the Providence Friars out of the Big East. And of course, tomorrow and Friday, we'll have the entire field hitting the hardwood. To follow all of the games and scores and make sure you don't miss any of the excitement, tune in to Westwood One's exclusive coverage of the entire NCAA tournament right here.
The wrong boot will make your work suffer. Take Yeti. That's his forklift with the front wheels hanging just over the edge of the loading dock. And that is a big bead of sweat dripping down in his face because he's pretty sure if he moves, this whole thing is going to go further south. Sure will be interesting when everybody gets back from lunch. When your feet hurt, your work suffers. So get the Timberland Pro Disruptor Work Shoe. Anti-fatigue technology and a 30-day comfort guarantee. Timberland Pro. Visit your local Timberland Pro retailer to get a pair.
This just in, Wendy's is adding the quarter pound double stack as an option in the 4 for $4 for a limited time. With so much beef, that's a deal so good it should not exist. In related news, because their wings are too small for their bodies, bumblebees should not be able to fly. Here to comment, bees.
Wait, we're not supposed to fly?
Kinda like how a quarter pound of beef should not be in the 4 for $4.
Yet it is. That's over a quarter pound of fresh beef with 4 nuggets, fries, and a Coke, all for just $4. Any other bee puns?
No, we're good, honey.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time, meal includes 4-piece nuggets, small fries, and drink. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada. Not valid in
one of the things about the humidor is it's probably got the greatest variety of any tobacco shop in Huntsville.
I come down here because the variety of accessibility of the different types of cigars that they have.
Great selection of cigars, and they have the best selection of cigars around at a good price. Buy it, smoke it here, hang out with the guys.
Great pipe selection, great tobacco selection. They do a great job of taking care of the customer, and that's what counts.
The Humidor Pipe Shop, Memorial Parkway Southwest. Now open Sundays, noon to 6.
Looking for a way to get involved in the community? Big Brothers Big Sisters of North Alabama has a new office in Athens and is looking for those interested in becoming a big, wanting to be a little, or simply desiring to assist the organization through donations or partnerships. Each year, Big Brothers Big Sisters works to pair children ages 5 to 13 with mentors in an effort to enrich their lives. In order to support these, your support is needed. To be a part of Big Brothers Big Sisters, stop by the new office in the Family Resources Center at 406 South Jefferson Street in Athens. Call 256-880-2123 or on the web at bbbsna.org. Becoming a big brother or big sister makes a tremendous impact on the lives of children throughout the Tennessee Valley. And with the addition of the new office in Athens, your impact reaches even further. It's never too late to start something and make a difference in someone's life.
We cure 80% of children with cancer. Go back 50 years, we were curing 20 to 30%. This is the miracle story of modern medicine.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school or even let alone go to college, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, studied hard, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I feel like if I didn't have anyone to push me, I wouldn't even bother to do it. I got one milestone down the drain, and now I got to work on the next. I see the future is really bright for me. I feel like it doesn't matter the age, as long as you go back and get it done. The high school diploma is just added to the confidence, and now I feel unstoppable.
No one gets a diploma alone. You have more support than you realize. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Native American Rights Fund has been helping Indian tribes for over 40 years with critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior with your support for NARF's work. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
We're all part of your community.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
So protect your every day.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
WUMP Madison, W28OBA Madison Huntsville, a Cumulus station. Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The UMP.